You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let
this
be taken away from you?
No,
sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into the Week 7 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football presented by Bear Realtor. I'm your host, Jackson White, and joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter, and of course, your head coach for your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons. The Giants last week had another heartbreaking loss, 26-24 to Lawrence North. Coach, take us through what happened in the last final seconds of the ball game and throughout that game.
Well, I think when you look, it's more than just the last final seconds. You know, you people, it's easy to look at what happens at the end and say, well, shoot, you know, you guys were close, gave up a late score. But, you know, I think when you go back through any football game, whether you're watching the Colts on Sunday, whether you're watching your favorite college team on Saturday, or whether you're watching the Giants on Friday night, you know, I think there's always a compilation from start to finish. And when you look at you look at the opportunities we had in the red zone Friday, we had two different trips inside the red zone in the first half, didn't get points out of either one of them. That uncharacteristic, we missed wide open receivers, or We get a holding call that puts us behind the chains, and so you look at those two possessions early in the first half, or early, you know, one in the first quarter, one in the second, and you're trailing at halftime, and it's like, you know, shoot, well, you know, we had these two opportunities here, could have given, you know, could have had the lead at half, changes the dynamics how things are played in the second half. So really, you know, it's more than just what happened in the final, you know, 15 seconds or whatever. You know, I think it's got to be a full 48-minute compilation. And when you look at where the strides that we made defensively, we had to make some changes due to some personnel, you know, issues that we had, and really felt like we competed defensively, did some really good things, you know, and then you give up a 3rd and 18, you know, hook and ladder for 50 yards, you know, in a touchdown. There's just still those one or two key plays defensively that we got to get over the hump on, and we got to learn to make those plays. We got to finish and get a drive, get a stop when we need a stop defensively, you know. But conversely, offensively, we had a chance to get a first down, put the game away, and didn't do it. You know, we had 1st and 10, rip off a good run that's going to give us a chance to milk another 2.5 minutes, or at least burn their timeouts. Get a holding call, put us behind the chains. They get an unsportsmanlike penalty, puts us in, you know, we got some of the penalty yardage back, and then we just couldn't grind out that first down when we needed to. And so, you know, again, you know, you look at special teams wise, didn't kill us, but situationally it hurt us. You know, we put back-to-back kickoffs out of bounds, and then we get punchy and give them the ball at the 50, they go down and score. Then we turn around and put a drive together, get a field goal. So There were some ebbs and flows in that game, but when you look at the full 48 minutes of work, there were too many missed opportunities on our end that for us to have a chance to win that game against a good team. And you know, so you put yourself in a position to have to make one play at the end of the game, and you know, our guys competed, and you know, ultimately, you know, arguably the best football player on the field made a play. Well, you know, when you put yourself in that position to be one play away from deciding your fate, you have to be willing to live with it. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. that play didn't work out for us.
Coach, you mentioned a little bit about your defense there, and they really did. I thought, at least from my perspective, listening to the game back here in the studio, I thought your defense played well compared to some of the struggles that you've had this season. And specifically, you had contributions from a freshman, Mark Zachary, who made a tremendous interception that I was able to see the replay of. So what's it say about your team right now where you get that kind of contribution from a freshman?
Well, I think when you look at him and you evaluate him as a football player, he's got really good instincts. You know, he's got really good length. He competes. And really, you know, if you're a DB in our league right now, you better have a short memory. You know, when you look around and you look and Pike can spin the football and throw it, Center Grove can throw it, you know, Warren can throw it, LN can throw it, LC's going to put it in the air and throw it, Carmel's going to put it in the air and throw it. So you better have a short memory. And, you know, I think that's one thing that he has for a young guy, besides all the measurable traits that you look at and say, okay, you know, one, he's extremely coachable. Two, he's got a short-term memory. And because he has that short-term memory, his ability to focus on the next play and just be willing to go compete regardless of the outcome really has put himself in a position to grow and get better every week. And when you saw his interception, you know, there was a stoppage in play right before it, and we told him, like, they're going to shoot their shot at you right here. So you got to trust your technique. You got to put yourself in a position to go make a play, and he did that. Trusted his technique, put himself in a position to go make a play, and then you saw his athleticism once he got loose, you know, to be able to put together a 40, 45-yard return. And, you know, he just keeps digging. And when you look at us defensively, you know, Drew Evans, you have Mark Zachary as a freshman who's continuing to get better every week and play well. Drew Evans really got his first extensive action of the season at the inside linebacker spot and really played a daggone good football game. Mm-hmm. And then you start to look at, you know, some of the guys that got playing time for us defensively on Friday. And, you know, the one thing you can take away from it is, one, they gave us an opportunity to win the game. They absolutely did with how they played and how they competed. Two, it gave us an opportunity to build some depth and find some depth. And those two things are going to be critical once we get this thing headed back in the right direction. And as we get into November, you know, having that depth is going to be important when we get into the IHSAA tournament.
So, Coach, you guys did win the turnover battle 3-0 this weekend. This was a particularly low-scoring game coming from us, as we do average on the year prior to this game, 41 points. We average that, and then we allow 38. So why was this such a low-scoring game, and did the offense have any struggles that they haven't had so far this season?
Yeah, I think when you look at why it was a low-scoring game, you can go back to missed opportunities in a heartbeat. You know, we had 24 mm-hmm. points, felt like we left 14 on the table. When you have two empty red zone trips, you know, and our, you know, that end of the first half situation handled fairly well, got ourselves in a position to be able to kick a field goal, took a shot in the end zone that, you know, we didn't even give ourselves, you know, we ran the wrong route and we didn't give ourselves a chance on the ball. So, you know, but we can look back and say there were definitely two missed opportunities there. And when you have two missed opportunities, you know, you're going to take yourself from, you know, from scoring 38 down to scoring 24. You can't miss those, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what LN tried to do, they tried to bring a bunch of pressure in the red zone. And they tried to compress windows and play man coverage. Two things that we worked against all week, and two things we felt like we had a good plan for. We just didn't go execute that plan to the best of our abilities. You know, on the ball that we overthrow to Dylan Moore in the corner of the end zone, tailback goes the wrong way in protection. Against the six-man pressure when we have six blockers. Well, you leave a free runner, it's going to impact the quarterback, and mm-hmm. he looks at the rush, drops his elbows, overstrides, and then we shoot the ball long. So, you know, all of those things are all things that are fixable for us, but those are things that we can't miss if we're going to continue to be successful. You know, and then you get into some specific situations, and you can't put yourself behind the chains with penalties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did that. For whatever reason, you know, we had some penalty issues with the ball away from our sideline throughout the game that consistent. You know, I think we had five holding calls away from our sideline. And when you do that, you really take your rhythm away. And so you start to get into a rhythm, and that's when we've had success offensively. We got it first down. We're into a rhythm. We're pitching the ball a little bit. You know, we can punch a run up in there, and then all of a sudden you get a holding call, and that takes your rhythm away. And so, you know, we got to learn to be more disciplined, and we got to learn to try and stay in our rhythm so we can go finish those drives.
One thing that we have seen in this past game was Chris Patterson. He had three total touchdowns, two rushing and a passing, a little bit of a shovel pass to Dustin Beecham. What have you seen from him so far? It looks like he's improved every game.
You know, probably the thing that stood out to me about Chris more than anything else is how much he's matured over the season. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look back early in the season, you know, we tried to play two right out of the gate, and we ran into some hiccups with it. Chris has done a great job owning the role that we've given him. You know, when we lost Wiley, you know, it was one of those situations where, you know, Devin Wiley was kind of a wildcat quarterback for us, getting some goal line short yardage stuff. If you don't want to put big personnel on the field, you know, you got to have a guy that can run it and has a feel for running the football. And Chris really does. He has a really good feel for running the football. Plus, he can spin it, you know. And so he gives us an element that adds kind of a dynamic layer to our offense. And what we've seen is Chris's ability to go punch the ball in tight, short yardage type situations, and, you know, his ability to be able to set his feet and throw the football where we need it to when defenses are looking at him. You know, because even when he took the field on Friday, everybody, you know, here comes a run, here comes a run, here comes a run. Great. You know, he pitches the swing route out to Destin, and Destin was able to punch it in. Well, that gives us a play action, just another element to our offense. And Chris has really owned that role. He's great in practice with it. He's great on Friday nights. You know, he's right on our offensive staff's hip. He knows and has a feel for the game. He has such a high football IQ. His attitude and the way he's owned that role has really helped us offensively.
Coach, you have once again in this game a very aggressive approach. You talked about the kind of the missed opportunities in the red zone. Some of those came on fourth down. Had a fake field goal as well, which didn't work out for you in the game. So, as you look back at a 2-point game, do you have any second thoughts maybe about passing on a field goal or not taking points? Or is the, I mean, I know it's never good to ask a yes or no question because you could just say no, but what is the philosophy from that perspective, just being aggressive?
Well, the fake field goal was pretty simple. They had 11 guys on the line of scrimmage, and they had shown to be a boundary rush team. And so we felt like we had the situation set up to where the ball was on the left hash. They're going to bring 11. They're going to bring boundary pressure. We'd be able to sneak our left wing out. He got hung up a little bit, and when he got hung up, that's really what kind of sagged the rush. And so, you know, we had the situation we wanted. Didn't get him out as clean as we wanted to. In hindsight, we probably would have put him at the tight end spot instead of the wing spot. Then he would have gotten a free release. We probably would have walked in, to be honest. So we had the look we wanted. Can't fault our guys for doing what we asked them to do in that situation. The fourth down at the end of the game, I'll be 100% transparent and not just give you a one-word answer. We didn't want to put our defense back on the field if we didn't have to. We knew we would be able to bang a slant route into the boundary, and that's what we called for. Their guy just got up and knocked the ball down. I mean, in a perfect world, we jump the protection. You know, there's all kinds of things we could do, and it's easy to go back and fix those things after the fact. But we felt like we had the slant route into the boundary, felt like we could get 7 yards in that situation, then we could knee it out and get out of there with a win. Their guy made a play, and then we had an opportunity as a defense to go take the field and close the door and just didn't get the job done. And so, no, we're not going to stop being aggressive. I mean, it's part of what makes us successful offensively is when we can force people to defend all four downs and stress people, it's part of what's given us success. And so, you know, I think time and place we could situationally be a little bit better for sure. In those two instances, you know, the fake field goal, we got the look that we wanted. They had 11 guys on the line of scrimmage. If he pops out of there and we get a chance to complete it, you know, then we look like geniuses, you know. And then when you don't, you lose a 2-point game. It's like, you moron, should have kicked the field goal. It's real easy to do that. And then, you know, the one at the end of the game, too, we had an opportunity to bang that slant into the boundary. And again, you know, their player who's committed to Ball State's good defensive end, he's an all-Mick player, got his hands up and knocked the ball down. Like, well, he's allowed to do that, too. He's allowed to make plays, too. So, you know, we're going to trust our guys. We're going to continue to trust our guys. We're going to put them in the best possible position to be successful. And, you know, as soon as we get this end of the game situation figured out, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to be dangerous.
And that will wrap up this first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. Next up, we're going to talk about the Giants taking on the Carmel Greyhounds this Friday night. It's homecoming week here at Ben Davis. And this has been Ben Davis Football presented by Bear Realtor.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. It's Barack. Now that every American over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine, I want to talk about you getting yours. The vaccine is safe, it's effective, it's free. I got one. Michelle got one. People you know got one. And now you can get one too. It's the only way we're going to get back to all the things we love, from safely spending time with grandparents to going to concerts and watching live sports. So get the vaccine as soon as you can.
Visit rshot.in.gov. Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. I'm Jackson White, here with WBDG General Manager John Easter and your football coach for your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons, as the Giants do take on the Carmel Greyhounds this weekend, this Friday, I should say, at Giants Stadium. So you guys have another tough matchup, homecoming night. It's going to be a big game. You're taking on Carmel. What have you seen from this team?
Well, when you turn the film on, it's easy to get hung up on, individual people. But when you look at the systems that they employ on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game, they're extremely sound across the board. Their offense runs through their quarterback position. They want it to be Zach Osborne. Obviously they had to go to a backup in the Detroit King game to win it for him late. But, if Zach Osborne's in there, he's a dual threat quarterback. He runs the option. He runs the quarterback read game really extremely well. He's been running it well, for a long time there. Throws the football extremely well. He understands where the ball is supposed to be and when. And so he doesn't put himself really in harm's way to take a bunch of hits. And so big mobile quarterback. They attack between the hash marks. They're really between the numbers extremely well. They have some quick slot receivers that really try and get the ball in space and get on the run and get moving. And you look at their run game. They have a couple of different ways they want to try and attack opponents with the run game. They have some tailbacks that are a little smaller, but they're quicker kids that have good change of direction burst. And once they get in the hole, they can get out of the hole extremely well. And so you got to be conscious of those things, but really it starts with the quarterback for them. Their offensive line works well as a unit, so we have to make sure that we try and negate the line of scrimmage and neutralize the line of scrimmage and win between the numbers. They can throw the ball outside the numbers. They want to get their damage done, really between the numbers, and they're athletic enough to go do it. Defensively, when you look at them, they got good length everywhere. They got good length. They're extremely fundamentally sound. They know and understand their system, and so they execute it really clean. Conversely, you got to be able to know and understand their system so you can go attack it. I think that's the hard part. They do have some unique pressures that they can bring off of it. It starts up front, right? You got to be able to win the line of scrimmage, but you got to be able to ID the look too and know and understand how the look impacts your assignment from play in and play out. We're in the process of getting that coached up and getting it taught this week. I think in the kicking game, they have some explosive return guys that you got to be careful with. You got to be sound with, and they're going to force you to be sound and execute. And so, it shapes up to be a really good matchup. I think when you look at all three phases of the game, we got a tall task ahead of us. When you watch them on film, they've been in a couple of tight games and they've just kind of stayed the course and found a way to finish them and win them. And that is something that's troubling, when you look at how we finished the last 2 weeks. And so, we're going to have to grow, we're going to have to grow as a football team this week and get better in those tight game situations. Something we're working on in practice, and, we're going to line up and see where we stand on Friday.
When you look at the series between Ben Davis and Carmel, this is another one of those of the big four in the MIC. You got Ben Davis, Warren Central, Center Grove, and Carmel, which have historically had great success on the football field. And every year since at least 1981, Carmel's been on Ben Davis's schedule. So the Giants lead the series 24-23 right now. It's as close as it can get, really, without it being a tie. And, We've talked about this before. It's pretty remarkable. I think it's been all the way back to, I think, 1995 since Carmel has led the series, but it's been tied several times in that space of time. Last year in the regional, it was tied again, and Giants come out ahead and push one up. So when you look at this series, historically two great football programs, and I know you have had your own history of this series. So what memories do you have of this Carmel-Ben Davis series? I can think of some great games when you were offensive coordinator as well as now being the head coach.
Yeah, I think, you know, it started in 2007, really. You know, 2007, we hit a trick play at the end of the game.
I remember that.
That was one of those deals. It's like, yeah, we got it. Let's give it a shot. You know, and our kids executed. And, you know, that was a wild finish. That was a lot of fun. Then we went there in 2008. And that was just an old school, tough football game on both sides of the ball. You know, and you go back and you have an opportunity to reflect on those two games, 2007, 2008. Brings back good memories, but I think it just speaks to what you just talked about with the rivalry. You know, that not one team's going to pull away and run off with this thing. But at the same time, you know, you have two competitive programs have a great deal of mutual respect, and they're just going to show up and compete. And you just never know. You know, you really don't know. And you look at last year's games. Just as an example of that, we go up there in week 7 and probably play as bad as a Ben Davis football team's played in a long, long time, just completely apathetic, executed poorly in key situations, and just played kind of lifeless. And then we turn around, play them 6 weeks later in the regional, and we have a different ball club and really a different result. You know, we were able to hold on in a one-score game at the end of that. But you know, I think it speaks to this rivalry. And, I think Friday's not going to be a lot different. I think you have two teams that are, regardless of record, fairly evenly matched. And, I would anticipate another good game.
One thing about this series is that it often favors the quote-unquote underdog. You can think back on both sides of the football when the Giants have come in as the favorite and Carmel's won a game. Or, you know, you go back to last year's regional, Carmel might have been the favorite in that game, and you guys get the win. Back to state in 2014, certainly Ben Davis went up there, lost 37-7, I think, something in that nature, and comes back and beats Carmel at state, absolutely wallops them, so that Carmel really didn't know what hit them after they got up 17-0. But one game probably stands out in this series to me, and that's going back to 1991. It was a number one versus a number two meeting. Ben Davis was obviously on its way to a national championship that year. The number two team in the state was Carmel. They came in here and played a game. And Jackson, I will tell you this. There was not a seat in the house, and they were three deep around the track on the outside of the fence. It had to be the largest crowd ever to see a Ben Davis football game here. Because it was just packed out, and I believe Carmel was nationally ranked that year. I think Ben Davis obviously was nationally ranked as well. So that game stands out for me in this series, and it is a series that's about excellence. You talk often about the standard that is Ben Davis football. They have their own standard at Carmel, which goes back to even before the Jim Beldon days, to Dick Dullahan when he was there, it's a great rivalry between these two programs.
No question. No question. I would have loved to have been here at the 91 game. Probably was at a Roncalli game that night, to be honest with you. So
yeah,
I would have been playing that night. Shoot, 91 would have been my sophomore year. So I was playing for the Rebels.
We're around the same age, I think.
Yeah,
Coach.
I would have been playing for the Rebels.
So this is a rivalry game, to say the least. I mean, lots of history. And your guys' defense did look pretty good last week, having you guys had, I think, a couple sacks, two interceptions, and a fumble recovery. You're going against another good Carmel offense, and like you said earlier, the quarterback, Osborne, he's a threat to run the ball. He can throw it deep. How do you contain a quarterback of his stature?
Well, you have to be disciplined, and you have to pick and choose your spots to pressure. More importantly, you have to be calculated with what your reads are, and you got to stay disciplined. Really, they do some RPO stuff that can give you fits if you're not careful. But you also have to try and make sure that you understand what he's thinking pre-snap, because if you have an idea of what the picture is that he's looking at, then you can get an idea of what he's processing and how you can go work to take it away. You know, I think that's important. That's part of what we've talked to our football team about on the back end, especially in the secondary, is, you know, you have to understand what he's looking at. He's going to take what you give him. And so if you give him, you know, whether it's a hitch route, whether it's a quick slant route, whatever you give him, he's going to take. He's played way too many snaps not to. And so we've tried to talk to our secondary about that. You have to understand what he's seeing, and you got to be willing to go take advantage of it, or you got to be ready to answer that bell. But more importantly, I think too, you have to win the line of scrimmage, and in order to win the line of scrimmage, you gotta either stay on the line of scrimmage or get a yard deep in the backfield. Try and get a yard deep in the backfield. You can't get too deep because it's going to create creases. And if he gets a crease, he's going to be able to put it up in there, and he'll be through the hole in a heartbeat. But I think, you know, the important thing that our front can do is keep people off of our linebackers. If we can keep Keoki Toomer clean like we did last Friday, mm-hmm. Keoki had a fantastic game last Friday, in large part because of his football IQ and putting himself in a position to go make the plays that were there for him to be made. But part of that credit goes to our defensive line too. You know, they kept him clean, and he was able to scrape and use the speed to go run down Ellen's queue. And I think we're going to see some similarities this Friday too.
You know, kind of back to a historical perspective, Coach, when you look at this rivalry between Ben Davis and Carmel, it's never nasty. I mean, certainly it's hard played, but there's not a lot of extracurricular activity that happens, it seems, between these two football program. It's just usually a good, hard-hitting, physical football game, which, you know, some other rivalries, frankly, aren't like that with Ben Davis football. Why do you think the respect level for the two programs is so high between Ben Davis and Carmel?
Yeah, I think when you look at the leadership of the programs, you know, I think some that has something to do with it, to be honest. I think when you look at you know, how we try and operate our program and what we emphasize to our players just showing up and playing football. You got to be willing to outwork people. You got to be a great teammate. You got to own your role, and you got to compete. You got to be a relentless competitor. And if that's where the focus is and that's where the coaching is, then some of that other stuff just kind of goes by the wayside. You know, people, you know, I've had friends of mine, you know, say, oh, that Warren game, you know, I bet there's a lot of trash talking going on in that game. Nah, not really. Two physical, tough-minded football teams that mm-hmm. play. Yeah, you know, they're going to talk. They're teenagers in 2021. They all talk, right? you know, and you look at the Center Grove game, was really the same way, you know. And so, you know, I think some of it is when you get those programs and you look at the leadership of the programs and how the programs are run, I mean, it's just you just show up and go play ball, and you have respect for your opponent, but you also understand that, you know, you represent a great program. You got to be a relentless competitor, and the only way you're going to have success is by showing up and doing your job. And, you know, those are things that we emphasize to our guys all the time. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason why this game is played like it is. And, you know, historically speaking, going back over the, you know, 8 years I've been a part of this game, you know, nine games, 8 years, whether it was an assistant athletic director, assistant coach, or head coach, they've all been like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think this one's going to be any different.
Kind of reminds you of the old Penn-Ben Davis rivalry between the way those two teams, they would actually have a dinner after the game. The game when Ben Davis played Penn. They would go in the cafeteria and have dinner after the game. So can you imagine, you know, blocking somebody and then – you're going to be eating
breaking
across from
them.
Yeah.
Just going to block
which was
bread.
Just remarkable. We missed that Penn rivalry, but certainly I think Carmel probably very much reminds me of that same kind of respectfulness between the programs.
No
and
question.
I think that's so unique. And you'll see it Friday. It's just, yeah. It's usually just and Carmel is one of my all time uniform favorite teams too. Mm-hmm. If they don't wear anything strange, which they have in some years, you know, just give me those blue jerseys and the gold pants and that gold helmet. That says Carmel to me. And they always get the all uniform nod for me when they wear that scheme. Obviously, it won't be able to be in their white jerseys on Friday, but they could wear the gold pants. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
It's a good looking uniform. They kind of look like Pitt.
Uh-huh, I can see that.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I should say, this week 7 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, Coach, final thoughts on what you got for Purple Rain.
You know, we got a big homecoming coming up. Mm-hmm. Traditionally speaking, no pep session, which is a little bit different than my first year here, which I'm okay with. But our Purple Rain's done a great job in our first three home games of the year. We need them to show up this weekend. And, you know, it looks like the weather's going to be great. You know, we're going to have a great homecoming crowd here. Got some tailgates going before the game. And, you know, we got a great opportunity to get back in the win column here on Friday. And, you know, we fully expect the Purple Rain group to help us. And we expect our community to continue to show up and support us.
And like you said, this should be an exciting one. It is homecoming week here at Ben Davis. So the Giants take on the Carmel Greyhounds here at 7. We have coverage starting at 6:15. Thank you for Coach Simmons for joining us. Like I said, coverage starting at 6:15. Owen Pooley and myself will be calling the game as the Giants take on Carmel at Giant Stadium. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.